Yeah. Yep. I am not picking up good vibrations.
My phone is.
That's so probably one of the most popular theremin or theremin solos in modern pop music.
You lost me.
That one?
Really? You know that music? That's that and noise and good vibrations.
And we're live.
In 1950s sci-fi movies.
Welcome to the future.
That's what it's you're talking the future. About. Oh, it's like instrument, right?
Yeah, yep. The theremin. Mm-hmm.
Sorry. 2017. It's time to start writing checks incorrectly.
Oh, yes, 2017. Yes. Oh, this is upside down. Who writes fucking checks?
That's what I mean. I write one check a month for rent.
The only places I know that still take checks, the machine just prints it for you. Yeah. You just give them a blank check.
Oh, it's rent.
Yeah.
I would PayPal pay electronically, but my landlord doesn't understand technology. So
ours you can do online.
Your landlord lives with you.
I know. I have to give him a
check. He doesn't understand PayPal?
I don't want to confuse him. No. I'm giving him a check.
I was like, aren't you paying Jordan? I mean, that's the thing. I was like,
no, I would pay him any other way than a check. I would do electronically, but I don't think he can understand how that would work.
I keep calling my bank for starter checks. Like, I just won't. I won't buy regular checks because I don't use them for anything else other than rent. So it's my way of giving it back to the man.
Nobody takes starter checks.
Well, they're not starter checks. They're like your beginning account checks actually have numbers on them. Gotcha. But their BMO is like nice and gives you 50 for free. Just whenever you feel like it. So.
Every checking account I've ever had, they gave you like a lot of them for free. But
I got like a 200 for free, so I can pay rent for a few months.
I had to pay $14 for like a ton of checks.
Sure.
I'm still using ones from house that I lived at two houses ago, three houses ago.
I couldn't remember their names, so I had to pull up the cast of Rogue One.
Jyn Erso. Well, that shows how
Jyn Erso I knew. I remembered her. And Galen Erso, because they said his name about a million times in the movie. But other than that,
there's the blind Asian guy and the not blind Asian guy.
Yes.
That was their deep character development.
And I couldn't remember
there's the
K2.
Chicken.
I just said...
K2SO I knew, because it sounded like if Julius Caesar was in a Hispanic gang, instead of like Etu Brute, like K2SO?
I guess that.
That's how I remembered it. It might be racist been a as great fuck, mnemonic. But that's how I remembered it.
I only remember the names of people who survived. Tarkin, Vader, you know, the important people.
Oh.
Are all our mics working?
That might have been spoiler.
Yeah, we're all working.
You're
out.
Plugged in?
Yeah, I'm plugged in. No, spoiler, no.
Spoiler, everyone in the movie about a suicide mission dies.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, last week I unfortunately had the mic plugged in. I had it on mute.
Unfortunately?
Whatever. Fortunately.
It was a pretty bad podcast in general, so
it was fine.
It worked.
Well, then I'm not going to listen to it. Yeah, I only listen to this while I'm at work.
Yeah.
I don't listen to it out loud. I mean, I just have my headphones on.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not at work, why would you waste your time?
I'm not going to waste my time at home listening to this, but...
So we should welcome everybody to Crippled System, episode 184.
It's a palindrome.
No. It kind of is, when you think about it.
You tip the 4
if you put
over.
A 481 at the end of it?
Yeah, or just an 81. You wouldn't need a 4 again.
Yeah.
Simple. Oh, that's true.
Carry the 2. And it's boom.
Yep.
And we're here to pump you up.
My name.
Wow! Did
Nathan.
The podcast just suddenly die? Like we were talking, we were going pretty well, and then
well, he said we he had to pump you up, and he said we're here in pause, and I was just like, we're queer, get used to it. Is how it finishes. When I left home, Raylene was watching Drag Race because she's slowly making her way through all of the judge panel competition shows on Hulu, and so we watched all of Next Baker and all of Ink Masters and all of Skin Wars. And all of Top Chef, and they don't have Face Off, so now she's on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Ink Master, I do enjoy watching the show because I like the art that's happening on it. I hate the goddamn drama or the manufactured drama. But that's why you watch those shows anyways, for the manufactured drama.
You might like Skin Wars because it's basically Ink Master except with paint instead of tattoos. And so people aren't permanently fucked. Also, it's naked women constantly.
Nope, I like people who make bad mistakes.
That's like, they're like, oh yeah, oops, I just fucked everything up and it's yours forever.
Yeah.
Aha.
When Ink Master first came out, I was just in like the mid of my tattooing career. I could not stand that show or the people who came in started like thinking that's how things actually worked. I think I hated it even more when I started working for tattoo artists who actually were just dramatic bitches. And I was just like, please don't say this is the reality. but it is. It really is. Especially when I love it. Probably one of my best like fuck up stories ever from working in the tattoo industry was when somebody came in and they were trying to do something nice for their husband, and he was Scottish. So she wanted to, you know, I don't know.
Like a Celtic cross or
so
something.
Yep. She got the flag with the word Scotland put on it, but the tattoo artist that I was working with put two T's in it. So she came, she and her husband came in, and he was just righteously pissed because this guy couldn't spell check. And so what he ended up doing was, it was just some very fancy, like, fine lettering, with, and the only way he could fix it was by putting a huge T in the middle. It was the most ridiculous
like looking. Like a T that was big enough to absorb both
like
T's?
Y. Like, if it was red, it would have been, like, blue cross type shit.
Jesus Christ.
It was so rancid.
Like, the other way you fix it is just, like, putting, like, a whole tattoo of a narwhal over the entire thing.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, just say, it doesn't say Scotland anymore. No, you just get rid of the word Scotland. Mm-hmm. You just take, like, something and cover up the entire fucking word. Like,
yeah.
There's a point where you just have to do that.
Yep, he should have bailed when he had the chance, but no, maybe he just sucked it up and worked with it. But he was like, he was a really good tattoo artist. He was just one of these like basement scratchers, and somebody kind of just gave him a job because he was like halfway decent. So he just had no sense of how to do things.
So he didn't go through like the whole apprenticeship and then basically just go through like years of test.
Yeah, he.
Oh, that sucks.
He never got to see like how to fix a mistake because he had never really like. Made any before because he never had to do script or anything.
Sure.
Mm. And I'm Andy.
That's two of us down.
Yep.
I'm Brian. I spilt beer on myself because I was going to introduce myself quickly.
And I'm Chris.
And I'm also Brian.
Woo-hoo.
Yay.
Yay.
Welcome to
2017, the year of the goat.
We made it.
Is it the year of the goat?
Yeah. We finished 2016.
Did you see
the,
last
year was the year of the monkey.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, I know, because my age was 12 divisible last year, and I'm a monkey.
Oh.
I'm a Gemini monkey, which means that I'm just a bipolar shithead. Like, those are both, okay. In both, like, the Western and the Chinese zodiac, like, Gemini is just a bipolar shithead, and monkeys are just bipolar shitheads, and I'm both.
I really think, though, knowing you read that, goes, well, I guess I might as well play a part. Like, you're not actually that. I'd be like, well, it says it in the thing, so, well, oh, well.
You think I'm normally, like, Travis, and this is all an act because I figured I had to go.
Yeah.
I'm pulling a Rhaegar where I, like, read, what's the word I'm looking for? Not prediction.
You're prophecy. The
prophecy. Yep. I read a no, I'm not a wordsmith unless a prophecy tells me I should be, as was the case. No, Rhaegar was a wordsmith, and the prophecy told him he shouldn't be. That's how it worked.
There you go. Wow. That story went, that story started in a place and ended in a place, and none of it was good.
None of it was good.
So we're starting off 2017 just like...
Yeah, just like normal.
Just
yeah,
like we right. ended 2016 is really...
We lost a member of MASH.
I was going to say there was one today? Last...
Yesterday.
Yesterday.
Hey, who? Yeah, I think it was the first...
The pastor.
The last celebrity in 2016.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've been on vacation for 10 days, so I'm pretty mellow. It's just like I haven't worked in a while and done much. It's been pretty great.
Me too.
Yeah, I haven't either. That's great.
I got to taking accidentally a week off. take an extra day of vacation, so that was fun.
Woohoo!
All I did was...
Yeah, and we're all looking at
like, oh,
yeah, this is really...
I just had a doctor's appointment and took a full day instead of a half day. And like, very exciting.
Ooh, that's pretty amazing.
That's a great story.
Well, my supervisor was on vacation too, so she couldn't say no when I said I'm taking the rest of the day off.
Mm.
That seems fair.
I'm sure it'll pan out just fine.
Yeah, I played a lot of video games last week and a half.
Any better news?
Yeah, my bone density's coming back. So, like, I got diagnosed with transient osteoporosis. So it's basically osteoporosis that comes and goes, and hopefully it just goes. So I went in, and it looked like I was some kind of 60-year-old woman. Then I went yesterday.
Just because of what you were wearing.
At least as far as my hip is concerned.
Okay.
He had the moo-moo, you know.
Exactly, yep. But now my bone is getting dense again, so they're saying that hopefully it goes and just stays away, but it could just come back randomly. Hmm. And they said that it's nothing by, like, my fault of doing, like, not because I drink, not because I'm overweight, I'm pretty healthy. Like,
you rightfully should have, like, happened. 17 different diseases. You just didn't get any of them. You just randomly got something else instead.
Exactly. So that it was just because it was me, and that's just how it happened. So everything seems to be going fine. I'm walking around without a wheelchair. Well, I mean, you don't walk with a wheelchair unless you're behind one, but I'm not using a wheelchair anymore. I'm not using a walker or a cane, so stairs suck, but other than that, I'm doing all right.
Huzzah!
Yeah, I'm back in business, bitches.
Boom.
And only have half a six-pack of beer this trip.
I know. The last night I drank the other half.
Oh, I was going to say, did you drink the other three on the way here?
Or no, like, the interesting thing is they've still got me on painkillers. So, like, the answer for everything in the medical industry is opiates. So, I have to, like, time my beer drinking right. Because they're like, you probably shouldn't drink with these. And I'm like, I probably shouldn't because I drink too much. So, I have to, like, find the sweet spot between like the two doses that I take each day where I can actually drink, and I just have to pack it in like a college kid. So that's those are my drinking habits right now.
Wow. I don't think that's right.
Hey, it works. It works. I haven't died yet.
During this window is when I'm least doped up, so I'll just smash them down as fast as possible.
I'm pretty sure he read that in WebMD, so it's fine.
Yeah.
Exactly. If you just keep your alcohol poisoning separate from your opioid addiction, just right in there, you're okay. Just don't cross the street.
Exactly. Yeah, someday I'll have to taper off that stuff, but right now I'm still chasing the dragon. So, so yeah, it's been fun. I'm
looking
forward to
medical advice.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to going more War Machine tournaments and not having to worry about having to get assigned seating.
Speaking of which, like, there's a champions thing.
Yeah, in January here.
Yep, next week.
Is it? Rick's wait, next week?
7th.
Let's ask a question here.
Okay, so yeah. It is the 7th of January.
It is this week.
Saturday. I thought it was the 14th. I thought it was the 14th.
No, the 14th is a Magic pre-release.
Okay.
I know that because I had to set
I will
up
be
another
in Milwaukee for a completely different reason, but I'll be in Milwaukee this weekend.
I'll be working.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
I might show up for the event.
Oops.
I really want champions to like be a normal thing in with the Wisconsin area. So I'm definitely going to it, even though the rest of my ATC teammates want to schedule a practice day for that. But I'd rather
Fuck that. They all should come to the tournament.
Yeah.
It's playing also, games. I've been practicing.
I've seen your team. They don't need practice. They're hopeless.
Practice will not change your team.
Yeah. I don't know. I still think we're a top five team. We got this.
I have
the five teams signed up.
Yeah, I was like, how many people?
My champions list.
Well, the thing that works nice for
me
is
that...
We've
got like 16 so far. Ooh. We still got like 3 months to go.
The thing that works nice for me is that some of the options that are in my ATC pairing are in the Champions format, whereas like some of them just aren't, which is funny because one we have a ret player and they've got like half their casters are off, so...
There's a troublemaker in our chat, by the way.
Well, he might have been trying to put a useful link in there.
It says John.
Oh,
it's the 21st is the event, right?
So it's not... This Saturday or the Magic Pre-release.
Yeah, I thought that the 7th was.
I was pretty confident it was not this weekend. I was pretty sure you were.
I thought it was mid.
Yeah, I don't know. The thing that I hate the most about the Madison meta and people setting up fucking tournaments is that half the people use Facebook, which I feel like is the superior way to set up an event, and the other half uses an archaic, dated thing that they shadow ban people on.
Shadow ban.
Shadow banning's awesome. Don't even try to spin that like a negative.
I just know the comment stream on that one was just golden. Like I just loved it. It was amazing.
I did this weird when I ran events. I did this really weird thing where I posted the event everywhere and I promoted it everywhere like 3 to 4 months ahead of time. I wouldn't shut up about it. Unlike the current strategy where someone puts it somewhere once, no one talks about it. The event just happens as people are there.
Mm-hmm. And your events are just terrible, Brian, so really makes
The thing is
the events
just get so few people. Yeah. The events I run actually, pull the 20-plus people.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's amazing what a little bit of work will turn out to an event.
Seeing the Madison sign up for posts on the thread on the PP forums is always, like, it just tickles me a little bit because it'll say, like, username plus 5, like down the road, just because there's only like one person in a little like microcosm of a group that says, hey, everybody, here's this thing that's happening. Yeah. Who's coming with me? And it's just like, list my forum name 5 times.
Yeah.
Well, you really got to put them on the forums and the Facebook because not everyone uses Facebook. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I've unfollowed every person. My Facebook is just a matter of what happens in groups. And it's it. I find Facebook to be just useless. There's too much just nonsense on there. So I just use it to go in some groups, and I use it to chat with Alex Schaefer. That's it. And occasionally Chris Green. Other than chatting with Chris Green or Alex Schaefer, Facebook to me is a chat program. And Chris at work. And then GChat's what I use with everybody else. It's either GChat or that. It's like Facebook can go fuck itself as far as I'm concerned, other than groups.
I just like the event reminder system.
The events, and for events. When I make, the events and groups are what I use it for. But everything else, I'm done with on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, Facebook is a sea of clickbait and vague comments from your friends.
My newsfeed is hilarious. My newsfeed, all it is advertisements. It's just like this weird suggested videos.
I wonder how the algorithm works for those, because I get some weird shit on there.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I do keep blocking more and more people on Facebook.
Well, I was blocking and I realized I had probably 50% unfollowed already. I mean, you know what? I already unfollowed everyone. I'm just going to turn it all off. Just shut it all down. I'm just done with the nonsense. I don't care.
It's just Facebook has kind of turned into like, it's your consciousness made physical. And I think that some of those things just, I don't need to see that. I don't need to see the inner workings of my friends' heads because half of them are stupid.
Yeah, I was like, oh, Bob's racist. Didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah, that's always fucking great. You're just going along. Somebody's like, actually, blah, 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 and, you know, build a wall. I'm like, God damn it, Bach.
Well, and I'm curious, and this might just be like tinfoil hat stuff, but if Facebook uses some kind of system to, like, pool your friends' interests and your interests together, and this is probably part of, like, election problems, but, like, showing you news feeds and advertisements and other things like that and suggestions that all line up with your friends' thoughts and feelings and approaches to life, and then you feel like you're living in this, like, terrarium of ideas. So you feel like the world functions in a way that it really doesn't.
Yep. It
creates a false reality.
Yeah. Which was equally annoying. Mm-hmm. I got sick of the whole thing.
Fuck them all.
Rather live in the dark.
Oh, I just fucking love the dark. It's my new home. Goddamn wonderful.
You moved? Oh, no. Never mind. That was just a thing.
That's true.
I might have started drinking somewhere between an offset of that window.
What?
So, do we have topics? 2016, 2017.
Shadow banning. Speaking of events in 3 months from now, you know, sign up, fuckers.
We have to figure out a team name before we sign up. We've got like 8 of them.
Okay. Yeah. It's a big deal. You know what I'm getting really sick of is all the people are like, yeah, we're going to sign up.
I'm telling you,
there's like 10 fucking teams that have told me they're going to sign up.
I'm not confident my team's going to survive until time to sign up, so my team may or may not sign up, and then I may just join like the 3-person tournament for a free slot into the thing.
Oh, well, also, that's the thing, is I think that the solo event is still just some guy defaulted. Like, I think there's a guy who just paid the entry fee, and he gets to be on a World Team Championship team currently.
We did discuss as a team breaking up and taking our chances in the solo event. We talked about it.
So yeah, no, we'll definitely. So that's my, we'll see if my team can hold it together.
Sign up, get a hotel room. We booked a block of rooms, and that's part of the contract. So, you know,
so
get
what,
a hotel
room. What are the dates on that again?
It's the first weekend in March.
Okay. And you're trying to promote an event, but, you know.
I've been promoting this shit
I know you have.
Ever. You should know by now.
But I'm not going.
Casey Acker tagged me in a post. Why would Casey tag me in a post? Speaking of Facebook. All right, sorry. I'm trying to pull up my phone. It's the first weekend in March.
Do we have any other topics?
And sixth. Third, fourth. Yeah, Friday, Saturday. It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah.
Third, fourth, and fifth.
Well, it should be a good time at any rate.
It will be a good time. And remember, food's included.
Mm-hmm.
Big old buffets with all brats and shit. Eat all you want.
Well, and it's other than it just being like a highly competitive tournament, I think one of the things that is most fun about going to these weekend events or conventions is that, like, you're surrounded by a lot of like-minded people, and you get to do a lot of really fun things, and it's almost like the tournament is like an aside chore, really.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, that's the original reason why I'm going there, but then all the other stuff that comes around, too, it's like, I want to make sure that I get done with this match soon because I've got some plans later that I want to hit up.
Absolutely.
Like, going to, if you do go to ATC, there's a bar restaurant that you have to hit up because it's fantastic. It's called Tally's. It's only a few minutes away from the actual place where we'd be playing, I think. And it's just, they have phenomenal food and it's super cheap too. Like, you can get a pretzel that's £2 for like $8.
You know, bring some board games, play some Ship Captain Crew. I mean, it's going to be a weekend event, right? And exactly. You're not going to be playing games for all of it because we're going to split a couple games one day, a couple day games the next day. And so you'll have time to be social with people.
Yep, and if you go 2-0 the first day, make sure you find me and I'll get you super drunk for the next day.
There you go.
There's going to be a bar there too, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, there's a bar that they have their own bar, and so it's the alcohol's on site. So, you know, don't just wheel a keg into the convention room. We'd get in trouble then.
Well, but if you're carrying it the entire time, like a backpack,
get a camelback.
Then that's probably fine.
Yeah, or if just cosplay as Borka and the Keg Bearer.
Yeah,
Assault Commandos have like fuel tanks that are just about the same size as
there you go
kegs.
Be the You mean any of like the convention?
Yeah, no, the weapon attachment.
The weapon attachment. Yep.
Yeah, but the Witch Doc Croc convention exclusive the Steel Soul Protector, Keg Protector. Just cosplay as any of those ladies, and you get to bring a keg with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I am looking. I'm really hoping. I think I can't remember if this happened or not, but I was really looking forward to the chance of there being like a male pinup for those things coming soon.
Yeah, they totally need to do a Tom from Finland style, just banana hammock, six pack, mm-hmm. you know, beefcake, something.
I think they were talking about doing that for. Well, I mean, you have Kingdom Death that has all the they're starting to add beefcakes into
there. PP needs to do one of those just to dilute any, because there are still people who are upset about the concept of those things.
Yeah.
And that's fine. You know, they're welcome to do so. I mean, they have some valid points to it. So it would really help either rightfully or eye-rollingly to mitigate those complaints to just have a dude with his dick hanging out as one of those exclusives.
I have the perfect one that they should do.
Well, the big one people always go to is the Tom from Finland style, like Butcher or Doom Reaver, like one of those Kador like axe-wielding guys just shirtless and in leather chaps.
Well, I think you have to go with the Tom Selleck of the Iron Kingdoms.
McBain.
Sure.
That'd be pretty legit. Mm-hmm. I'm getting tired of painting only horse dicks. I want to paint a human one once.
Yeah. Well, you have green stuff and plenty of models that could have dicks.
But then I got to deal with their pants, too. Like,
you don't have to paint them with pants.
Yeah. You can just have his dick hanging out.
Yeah.
I guess so,
I could, like, you can paint all the dicks you want.
There's that.
Man of War armor probably has access ports.
They have to. Well, no, that might be how they feel the steam. So, like, you know, if you're around one that's really stinky, that's the pee one.
There's the extreme warp wolf that somebody modded with the giant uncircumcised penis hanging off.
Well, the metal dire troll mauler.
I saw that and I can't unsee it. I tried to find it again, but my Google started to burst into flames, and so I stopped searching for it.
I do remember that.
Uncircumcised extreme warp wolf. It was just the wrong thing to.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
Clicking off too many boxes there.
When you search extreme, when you put the word extreme into a search that already is talking about genitals, like Google's like, fine, we're going there.
Man, Bing would have just exploded.
Extreme uncircumcised makes me think I'd find like some fruit by the foot thing. Just some fruit by the foot penis.
Did you guys see the video online of like the kid? It's like a 2-year-old kid or whatever. He's talking to one of those Alexa things.
Weird segue.
No, it's great because it's like, you know, one of those voice activated the Alexa things.
Yeah.
And I think he's trying to make it say twinkle twinkle or something. He says, Alexa, play Dicker Dicker. And so Alexa's like, you have requested porn. Please choose category. Anal, lesbian, fisting, and spiritual. Like, wow. Alexa, shut down. Alexa, shut down. It's amazing.
Oh, I've seen that. I saw the video. I've never clicked on it.
Yeah,
so
no, it's great. That's the kid blatantly says "dick her, dick her," and so I can't blame Alexia for being like, "Fine, you want some chick getting fucked? I'll get it for you." Just the panic in the parents, just screaming at it to stop talking.
Indeed.
Yeah. So. Topics. I guess one of the topics we could talk about is, anybody have a memory of 2016 that they care about?
It's over.
No. I remember when Mad Dogs were worth taking. That was kind of cool.
I remember when I went from having the worst faction in Hordes to the best faction in Hordes.
That was a good one, too.
That was a good moment.
You play Scorn now?
That's 2017. Okay. 2016 was the year of the minions. Oh, so much shit broke wind
open. I think Circle is still the best. Circle is still the best.
Yeah, Circle players like to claim it, but they're deluding themselves.
Circle is weird. They've got a whole bunch of really good, highly concentrated, great stuff at the top, and then like in between that is just this huge void of junk.
Yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, yeah, you got Wormwood, good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and
Una.
Okay,
Tanith.
I will annihilate the shit out of Una.
Yeah, I'm there's ways around it, but she doesn't mean that she's not ridiculous.
Yeah. Any pig caster is actually a really decent counter to Una, so I'm just in a good situation for that. Because she can't do the run to engage bullshit because my casters all have bulldoze as an animus, and then I just blow her birds off the table.
That's good.
So,
yeah. Do you guys have any like serious circle players in Madison? I thought that was a huge gaping...
Ethan was playing Circle, but I think he's jumped... Isn't he pretty much all into...
He went to Retribution. As soon as Ossian rules started hitting the table. He's been fighting.
So he's gonna get me back to circle now.
He's been fighting it. It's really hard for him to not, like, every time he's just like, I can't believe they didn't change Una at all. Like, I can't believe it. So he's just like, I really should play that. And I'm like,
well, yeah, I mean, it's hard. She isn't even out.
Like, yeah, general release yet.
They don't go. They have made a rat of changes to things that aren't out yet, but it's more rare. I mean, you got to actually get it on the table.
Exactly. I understand. I mean, like, it's just on at face value. She's just so over the top. She's ridiculous. Like, Circle, I would say, has, like, some of the top three casters. Like, if you look at the top five casters in the game, I would say that Circle's got three of those slots. Still.
If those birds didn't have stealth, she'd be less bad. Give those fuckers Prowl, and she's a lot more in line where she should be.
Stealth and Long Leash. I think Long Leash is probably
the more egregious. I mean, Long Leash is good, but I think if they just had Prowl, at least, like, they don't all guaranteed survive getting to you.
Yeah, I could live with that.
You think you have three of the five? So what? You think Una, Wormwood, and you said Tanith? You think Tanith is one of the top five casters in the game?
Yeah. I think she's... Ethan and I have talked about it endlessly, but they're like... Tanith is like a snipe animus away from being the best caster in the game.
Like, okay.
there goes the last shred of our credibility.
Well, like, I
don't worry. When we win the ATC, it'll be all back, and we can have a big old conversation with our team and talk about how everybody can get good at War Machine.
I'll show you, but I'm playing
some videos. Rask is number one. I mean, come on.
Rask is pretty good, yeah.
Rask is top five.
I think he might be top 10.
Fuck you. You're not even giving him top five?
No, because I'd give it to Sorsha first.
Why?
Because she's phenomenal. Like, she's like, when they made Freezing Grip 3, that was fantastic because she can cast Freezing Grip, boost it, and win Rush Away. And then she also got the one thing that she needed to be like a straight, like, done deal caster. They gave her Weapon Master against frozen targets, which she can just have on tap. She is probably one of the best assassins in the game, like, hands down.
And that's the way she was.
Sorsheen.
That's how she was. That was all throughout Mark 1 was Sorsha.
But Freezing Grip being 3 is just, like, criminal.
It should not be that cheap. Yeah. But the thing is, though, if you do Freezing Grip and then go away, you're sitting on no focus?
Yeah, you're no camp, but you're still sitting at armor or defense 18, and then that's regardless of terrain that's around there giving you buffs. But the like, when you look at... Like, I'll just drop it, but, like, Temporal Barrier is 4 and Freezing Grip is 3. I don't understand how that computes to being, like,
well, okay. I mean, with the change of Temporal Barrier, it should be maybe cheaper, but...
Previously, yeah, it was ridiculous comparison, but now it's just... that the change they made to it's a little too harsh, I think. But I have a lot of opinions on the Areta.
Well, they knocked down Haley 2, then they'll take care of Haley 1 and 3 in the next Areta. We'll just keep bringing Haley's down.
You think this is top five?
Yep.
I mean, she's okay.
I mean, once you put it with the rest of Circle's toolbox.
Look at the last 6 months of Mark 3 results. Tanith has won everything. Tanith, she's been rocking everything. Actually, she's done nothing.
I mean, she has admonition, which is good, and then she gets defeat to cast, like, 4 affliction. Or not afflictions, bleeds.
Well, I think the problem with Tanith not making a lot of rounds right or in the early part of Mark 3 is that Wormwood, you can almost solo him through a lot of things. There's some things that he doesn't like, but during the early part of Mark 3, I think a lot of it was dropping down the Skew casters or Signar getting crazy with Kara Sloan.
I mean, I see Admonition and Scything Touch. You're upkeeping those, okay, and then... That's all you do?
But just, like, getting affliction with her with having, like, wolves or even, like, I'm just trying to think. Like, I don't speak from a big circle perspective. I just work with what I've seen on the table. But, like, affliction with wolves is ridiculous. The sentry stones just murder anything they touch. Like, it's kind of like all the parts coming together with her that make her ridiculous.
I'm so bored. I mean, if units existed, affliction would be a lot better, but units don't exist, so affliction is just target colossal takes 10 damage this turn.
But you could with wolves, you put 20 damage into something because they've got the double tap.
Just don't break them.
And they're cheap enough to where there was even a point where you'd see lists with two of them. Like, Tanith is extremely good. She's probably, if and I had to guess, she's one of the better Crix casters in the game.
Sure, I just don't see her as top five when shit like Haley 3 and Wormwood still exist. And
Haley 3 is definitely a big one, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't worry. When the Scornerata,
I would confidently say she's top 50.
She's sure, top 50.
Sure, okay,
she is top 50.
She's top 5 in Circle.
We'll agree with that at least.
There we
she's
go.
Definitely top 5 in
she
Circle.
She is one of 178 casters.
Yeah, I'd say top 50, yeah. And I'd say top 5 in Circle.
She's above Constance Blaze.
Yeah,
there we go. Any other 2016 stories? That was a pretty good one. People are not on topic very well.
No.
I played a lot of Overwatch 2016.
I was going to say 2016 Overwatch.
That was the biggest thing of 2016. A lot of war. I'm actually...
I never thought a first-person shooter would get me that excited, but...
Yeah, seeing...
happened.
When
bullshit, Borderlands 2 existed.
Destiny had come out.
I never
out.
Played that You're until just recently. Andy made me buy it, and we...
For the PS4?
Played once.
Yeah.
Why aren't we playing that shit? We all have all have the handsome edition.
Yeah.
Overwatch exists.
Yeah, play Overwatch.
Yeah, Overwatch.
Overwatch.
So much fun. Overwatch is so much more fun than everything else.
Fun. I mean, it was great that one night we played it, but I'm like, but there's Overwatch right over there on my PC, and we can.
There's a lesbian in it. It's hard to schedule a time with Chris because Chris has got two kids who owns his PS4.
Yeah,
with Minecraft.
Yeah,
so. Fair. We have to play either late at night and at that
or
time.
Or play Minecraft.
Or
just
have
jump
done
in.
That too.
Yeah.
Either we play late at night or at that time we're playing Overwatch.
Yeah.
Because then
we're already deep,
his wife is
deep
wanting to play.
In Overwatch,
it's
yes.
So much Overwatch all the fucking time, and I don't get bored of it. I mean, occasionally I get annoyed for a day or two, but I'm back. It's like, you know, there's the occasional bad game where I'm like, why am I playing this? But then everything is better again.
I did play 6 hours of Overwatch in a row this weekend. It was ridiculous. Like, I just can't get enough of that
you mean,
game.
You call it, you mean Tuesday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
a
Tuesday.
I played some Uncharted. And that game's terrible.
I did see your videos on.
I laughed.
Which it was enjoyable.
I was like,
Nathan and I had this discussion last night because he's going at this from a wrong perspective. He went from a 2013 or 2014 game, which was Tomb Raider, going back 7 years to Uncharted, which was a PS3 launch title. And all they did was update the graphics for the. For the new one.
I played Uncharted 2 and 3 before I played 1. 1 has problems. I'm not going
to... Yeah. Yeah, I noticed.
Yeah.
I'm playing and I'm like, man, this game would be great if it wasn't fucking terrible.
The thing is, though, it's only terrible if you try to make cover. You just have to acknowledge you can't cover as much as you want and you just move on.
But the game is built like, I'll come to a corridor and it's this long corridor with obvious cover points and I know a million enemies are going to come. I'm like, all right, so I have to grab cover. And they come and there's a barrel in front of me and I hit the cover button and he plasters himself against the wall, not behind the barrel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I push the button to release cover because I want to get behind the barrel and then he catapults forward into the middle of nowhere. And then I'm dead. And I do that 100 fucking times. I have uninstalled and reinstalled that game 4 times.
You must just be goddamn awful at those games because it's not that hard. But it's still not that hard of a game.
The game's hard when you cannot see the enemies and you cannot take cover.
I have beaten that game multiple. I've never.
You saw my video. I take cover and he takes cover on the side of the pedestal where all the enemies can shoot me. So then I have to press the button to release and he cartwheels out and then I get back to cover and I finally cover on the right side.
How are you holding onto the controller? Are you upside down? Are you?
I'm pressing the circle button to take cover. But then when I take cover on the side, like my back's against the wall and here's the edge of the wall and the enemies are there and so I'll hit the button to jump out, like to lean out, and he'll lean to the right and just put his face against the wall and I can't see the fucking enemies. Explain that, because you saw that in the video. I hit the lean out and he's just like, I'll just shove my face into this brick wall.
I didn't even watch a video. I'm like, Nathan just can't play video games.
You should watch that fucking video, because none of that was my fault.
Yeah, I believe that's something I'm not going to believe.
I'm at cover against the edge of the wall, and I hit the lean out button, and
you can't even kill a goddamn clicker. Like, I think you're going to be able
not
to play
through a wall. I can't.
I don't know. I just have no faith in you in those kind
of
games.
None of that shit was my fault. A lot of shit's my fault. I died like 50 times in that game that it wasn't my fault, and like 10 that were. And I'll admit the 10 that were, but fuck those other 50.
I think something else you mentioned, all the future games greatly improve all those mechanics.
Yeah. Well, you can't like round the corner wall and cover. So like if you're against the wall and somebody comes to flank you, you have to cartwheel into the middle of nowhere and die.
The story in 1 is okay. The 2 and 3 is in 4 is where the story really starts building. It's more interesting. 1 just gives you the general idea. Because I mean, they just made this game that was neat. And then they realized it was cool and made you so much better sequels. I just played one just to play it, but two on are the ones that I really enjoy and actually are
that's,
awesome.
That was my experience with the two, is it? I just played one to play it. I think I played one after two as well.
Yeah, I went back and to this years later.
But, yeah, it's dealing with mechanics that are very old.
Because flip side is I could just, like, burn it and then buy the second of the Tomb Raider games.
But you have a collection. You can just go right to two. Nothing stops you from just playing two and enjoying a great game.
There's nothing connecting them at all. No, there's nothing connecting to it.
Like the characters.
Other than there's Nathan Drake.
Yeah, I bet Sully's back.
Yeah, so, yeah.
The characters. Spoiler, by the way, that Sully's not dead. Because I didn't predict that.
But yeah. You want to
watch. I'm sarcastic. Because when you're like, here, friend, take this thick book and keep it in your breast pocket. And then your friend gets shot in the chest. I bet your friend's okay.
What?
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 Never.
What? I mean, if you, yeah. But yeah, just go to two.
But I can't, because you have to do them in order.
Or you have to accept that it's a bad game, and you're going to have
it's, it's bad for trying to die. It's still, if you understand it, that the system isn't great for when it gets covered, you have to, you know.
I have to just assume the circle button wants me to die.
Yeah.
Like, it's an enemy, not a friend.
Correct. And then you're fine. And there are still covers. I have still taken cover a lot in that game just fine. And there are some bad cover spots, that's for sure.
It's like when there's a corner, the thing is, because he never takes there's the waist-high wall between me and the enemy, and then there's a full-height wall to my left, and he always just dry-humps that full-height wall and gets shot in the face. He never gets down behind the waist-high wall.
There's so many times I've died, too. Like, I jump to cover, and then there's some other guy just down the hall just shooting me straight in the head. Yeah, I've had that happen. It sucks, but it's...
Your rage, how you describing this game, is why I can't play some older RPGs, because the interface is so archaic and obnoxious. I'm like, why is it making me do this? So I rage in a different way over a different style of games. Like, this obviously is killing you instantly, but the frustration of old RPGs menus is unacceptable to me, because I know how new menus work so nice. That these old menus to, like, just do this layer of nonsense to, like, just, like... take a herb to heal. It's like 75 clicks.
To me, it's the sense of betrayal, right? It's like, I'm doing the right thing. I'm here. I'm pressing the cover button because I want to take cover behind this barrel, because that's my strategic choice.
But you're not doing it right, though.
But I am doing it right.
You may be pressing it in the wrong spot. No. You might be like one pixel over to the right slightly.
The point is, I'm making a tactically valid decision. My decision is
there. Your brain is making the decision to go there.
I am making a tactically valid decision.
You're screwing up on the controller.
And the game is saying, sure, that would be fine, but instead I'm just going to fuck you over and make you die. And that's a sense of betrayal, and I get angry because that's not, like... I didn't die. The game fucked me over, and that's not fair.
Don't play the game with oven mitts on.
Yeah. your hands have some, yeah. At least I know you and me don't react poorly when things go bad in a game.
Never.
How many controllers?
I'm surprised that I did not snap. I almost snapped that disc in half the third time I uninstalled it.
It's so cathartic to break those discs in half. Oh, I'm telling you, you feel so much better.
You're looking forward to doing it.
You can move on with your life. You just fucking go to two.
Yeah.
Two and three. Oh, three is, I think, either, I like three a lot, actually.
Either A, get really drunk, play all of one, because that way you won't know for sure if it's you or the computer that's just fucking up. If
you're just now drunk. He knows, though. He knows now.
No, I think Ian might have a hand disease. He just can't.
or live stream it.
Yeah.
You got to live stream
it. Would be entertaining.
So yeah.
Fucking annoying. Forever. What else?
I'm going to live stream my grenade tutorial.
Shithead. Fucking Uncharted.
Yeah.
So. I got, now I'm on a fucking jet ski with explodey barrels.
Oh, yeah, that's fun.
Some of those maps.
That was the fourth uninstall.
Oh, yeah.
The jet ski with the explodey barrels.
There was a point where I'm like, this might not be possible with my sanity.
Were you wearing oven mitts?
I was. That's how I play. I mean, that's how I play games. I'm always making pizza, so I'm always wearing oven mitts. I mean, it's convenient.
Fucking Uncharted. Fucking Uncharted. That's the topic.
We're still in 2016.
2016. So yeah,
this is my 2016 memory. Uncharted.
That's your review of Overwatch. Overwatch is so good.
I can't get enough of it. Like, I just constantly play, except for the May snowball fight. Like, I lost all interest in that, other than watching people die in that stupid room.
Going on my vacation, I was kind of hoping to play, like, 100 games a comp. I played, like, three. I ended up playing, like, 80 hours of quick play, which was still fun.
It was more fun that way.
It was.
I think.
It was just relaxing.
We were hitting a lot. Like I had a 7 or 8 game losing streak in competitive, and I'm like, we were doing so well. Like we were moving up, and I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna get platinum, and it's gonna be awesome. And then I hit like an 8 game. Like we're not gonna play the point. We're just not going to play the point.
Yeah.
We're not going to take a tank, and we're not going to take a healer or whatever. We're all going to play just DPS. That's what we're going to do this game.
Or like, as us as a group, we'll play the tank, healer, and DPS.
Yeah.
And we'll be the ones on the point, and nobody else will be on the point, and then we'll die.
Yep.
That's like I got into a rando game where I had we ended up going with like the Tankpocalypse team, and it was just like the Reinhardt was way the fuck out in the middle of nowhere, and the Roadhog was out chasing a Tracer for some fucking reason, and Zarya was like, she was not timing her shields right, and then I was D.Va just like, okay, I'm gonna squat on this payload even though I'm like the most papery of all of you, and Lucio was out trying to make sure that Reinhardt was okay, and I'm just like, he's got a fucking shield, like he doesn't need you right now, somebody
classic
else does.
Classic Lucio.
So lame.
I did probably 20 hours in the monkey this weekend. Oh,
Winston is a big one. Like I'm really sad that he isn't like getting a lot of respect in like the tank team lineup, but like he just, a lot of those DPS guys, he just kind of like bypasses their long range bullshit.
Yeah.
Except for Soldier, like that I can't stand
one of them's
right
literally
now.
Just named Soldier.
Soldier 76.
Okay, that's a little better, but not much. I'm also looking forward to being right about Winston. Yeah.
His colloquial term, I think, is just dad. He's just dad.
You know what's happening.
Yes.
Chris. I know I'm right about him.
He is going to be coming out or something or whatever the term would be for your monkey.
I played a lot of board games last year. Surprise. It's a statement of...
Did you see the 10x10 challenge?
People do that. So 10x10...
Explain it.
The 10x10 challenge is play 10 different board games at least 10 times each.
You make a list at the beginning of the year, and you pick a group. Like, the five of us would say, we're going to play these 10 games.
And we can already have one off of our list.
Yeah. And you just meet, you know, X amount of times, and you just focus on those 10 games a lot. And it doesn't have to, you know, not every time, but like 50 to 70% of times you guys hang out, you just play those 10 games, and you track them on a
thing. It has to be new games?
No, just you pick like 10 games your group wants to play.
And you're going to play them at least 10 times each. Because, you know, a lot of times, like, you just... You know, you play a game once. Like, we played a game today that the last time I played it was, like, 3 fucking years ago. And I think it's a really good game. And we all agreed that time and this time that if we played it multiple times, you know, and you just don't, right?
We
you
almost play game, played it twice, but Jim was having none of it.
Yeah. You know, like, we played Shadows of Brimstone once, and it was fun, and then we just never had time to play it again. Whereas some groups play it every single week, and so they get a lot more bang out of it. And so that's the idea of the 10x10 challenge is... a commitment that you're going to play these 10 games 10 times each.
The people I play with on Thursday are trying to do that, but I'm like, I just can't commit to them. I just can't. They're my casual gamers. I can't give them that kind of commitment. They just I do with them loose.
I'm just trying to think. That's like 2 games a week, ish.
Yeah. Which is easy. That's doable.
Which you can do. I mean, like we have a, you know, there's another couple that comes over to our house every Saturday night and we play board games. But I'm like, I don't know if we, you know, we play probably 2 board games because we have kids and we really can't. You get one half game in, kind of.
They don't have to be 2 hours long. Like, it can be, you know, a 2-hour game and then, hey, that's my fish. I mean, you can do that.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be, we're going to play Twilight Imperium 10 times. We're going to play, you know, StarCraft 10 times. I mean, then you literally don't have, you're going to play Greyhawk Wars 10 times.
Well.
Then you literally don't have enough time in a year to do that.
We're playing 1 2-hour game is essentially what we're doing. And then we're drinking the rest of the night.
5x5.
That's pretty much it. Yeah, I mean, that's 5x5 we could probably do in the way that we do it.
And you're
saying, I mean, a consistent...
Five of your games can be games that take 10 minutes and can be played while drinking. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing saying that that's not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, throwing down some Smash Up 10 times.
Fuck
super
yeah, whatever.
Easy.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, play Lords of Waterdeep 10 times and Smash Up 10 times. Like, that averages out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and last night I had, like, an impromptu, like, board game gathering at my house, but we ended up introducing some people to Mysterium for the first time, and that game, if you're not artistically inclined or you don't really connect with the person who's playing the ghost, that game is so fucking miserable the first time you play it, because you just cannot, like, you can't tease out what they're trying to convey to you. So the first experience for some of those people last night was pretty bad. They just, like, I don't understand how you can like this game. But then, like, I think as the game progressed, they started to like it a little more. So, like, playing that game a second time or throughout the rest of the month or something would have been really beneficial for them.
Or like we played the game we played today, it took 4 fucking hours.
Mm-hmm.
Next time we play, it'll take 2.
Exactly, because you don't need to worry about those rules.
A couple of us actually screwed up the first couple turns under misunderstanding something. So it's like any strategy game, you get better at a couple times. You can enjoy it when you play.
Yeah, Brian was smashing himself in the foot with a rock the whole game because he's like, this strategy will pay off. And then halfway through the game, I'm like, so you're playing this rule wrong. He's like, oh, so maybe not smash myself in the foot with a rock.
I destroyed every country I control. It was great.
Yeah.
Part of it was on purpose, though, because I knew I was losing control.
There is something to be said about not having to engage in that like first 30 minutes of gameplay where you have to remember the rules, too. Right. Like, that's another big part of it. So it's really, like, a lot of people who own a lot of board games, they do want to try and make sure that they get to experience all the things that they have because they bought those things because they like them, so, like, all of them.
But playing 100 games once, like, you just don't get that experience. Exactly.
Yep, you come back to something like Dungeon Lords. Like, I played that game once, and if I were to pull it out right now, I'd have to relearn the whole fucking thing. Mm-hmm. Because it's just not the type of game that you can pick up and put down like that.
Yeah, same thing with Comet.
I keep bugging Andy because I want to play Comet. You know, I would love to play Comet. I would love to own Comet. I'm like, I want to call like Child Protective Services, but for board games, and just say Comet's being neglected. I want to be a foster parent to Andy's copy of Comet. I'll go buy the expansion, you know, just to sweeten the pot. It's like, come here, baby. You know, you come here. I have an expansion for you.
What I'm going to do this year, too, is I'm going to track all the plays I do of games this year. I'm not going to track wins and losses and that kind of stuff. I'm just going to track how many times I play games and which games I play the most and see how a year.
That'd be neat.
That is actually, I mean, I always start off every year like that, and then by March, I'm.
I can stick with it. It's just something I was going to do. Someone was talking about doing that recently to me, and they mentioned like middle of a month. So I was going to start the beginning of the next month. It just happens to be January. I'm a complete non-believer in
resolutions.
I think the concept is ridiculous.
You want to do to better yourself, you should be willing to do it in August.
Exactly. So
yeah, my children were asked this morning if they have any plans for 2017 or any resolutions, and my son was like,
SSDD.
Yeah. My only issue with the 10x10 is that I own 100 games, you know, I own more than 100 games already, mm-hmm. right? And so that's a drop in the bucket, and I'm going to buy at least 10 more games before the year's over, so it'll never get me caught up, and that's why there's the temptation to just play, you know, 52 different games because you play a different game every week, because then, okay, your games don't have dust on them, but...
Yep.
Ugh. The other thing about a 10x10, I think you would start a 10x10. You might play a couple of games. Once you get 2 or 3 games, then your group might...
You're going to realize.
You know, game number 8 actually is shit. We're going to cross that off mentally. Yeah. And then if you do succeed and you play all 10, you're like, okay, we played all 10, and you are buying new games. Maybe these 4 or 5 I'm actually going to sell because after playing them, they were mediocre, and it kind of helps you kind of... Because if you can play a game 4 or 5 times, you get a real feel. You play a game once or twice, you still don't get that feel.
Yeah, like we played a big example of... A game that I have on my shelf that I really want to play more because I played it at a friend's that owned it and I thought it was amazing. And then we played it 2 or 3 times. There's that the Troyes game or Trois, if you want to pronounce it like a French, the like dice game with the tower building and everything. And we played it a couple times. And it was just both sessions just felt kind of meh.
Yeah.
But I remembered loving the game. And so that's what the thing is about, like, you know, the playing the 10 times. But if after 3 or 4 you feel meh, then you know.
Yeah.
You know, and you can just say, oh, all right, you're not grabbing me. You're out. You're on to eBay.
And what kills me in a game, sometimes I buy a game and I go, damn it, I didn't realize it was just like this other game.
Yes.
But the other game just flows a little bit better, so I'm never coming back to this
game. Oops, I bought Agricola.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I played Feast of Odin for the first time today.
So excited to have that game.
It's
Is that a better Caverna? Did we notch up again?
I mean, it kind of brings back some of the elements of, you know, professions are back or jobs are back.
Yeah. So I mean, Agricola has good elements.
An extra level that Caverna doesn't have.
Yeah.
So I kind of like it, but it doesn't feel as painful as, I mean, it isn't like, you know, I'm stabbing myself in the foot for, you know, 2 hours while I play Agricola.
Yeah.
So.
Agricola is an amazing game. Agricola is one of the best board games I've ever played in my life.
Caverna.
And then Caverna came out.
Yeah.
If Caverna had never come out, I would be talking right now about how Agricola is one of the greatest games ever made and everybody should play it. But it's garbage and you should never fucking play it because you're wasting your time because you're not playing a strictly better version.
Yeah.
And that just happens sometimes.
Yeah, elements. Feast of Odin, there's elements of the other games that are in it that make it good. And
but
it's
if it's
not,
different enough.
It's different enough because you're kind of putting your resources on a board. And I mean, that adds a totally different, you know, kind of a blockus kind of thing. Where
it's Agricola plus Patchwork? I love Patchwork.
Yeah.
The character from WoW?
No!
Yeah,
The goofy clown with the vaginas. Oh, that was Patch Adams. Never mind.
Yeah, it's completely different.
Yeah.
That's no, a different
Patchwork.
Patch.
Fucking A. Everybody should get Patchwork on their phones and play against me because I play it on my phone all the time.
That sounds so... I'm a brave scheme.
What
you
is
play
what
me.
Is Patchwork, then?
It's, can you... It's a two-player game, and you build... You take fucking... I'll show you... I'll later.
Okay, we'll do it later.
Yeah. I'm not going to explain an entire board sure. game right now, but it's there are tiles, and you take a tile on your turn, and you fit it on a board, and you want to fill up your board. It's competitive Tetris.
Okay, sure.
In board game form.
Yep. You have your own little Tetris
board. You have your own board that you're filling. There's a communal pile of pieces, and you buy the pieces and put them on your board, and you're trying to make the pieces fit on your board better than on your opponent's board, and so on and so forth. And then it's economy building. It's fucking good. And you can get the app for like $2.
Well, I'm out.
Yeah, it's $2.
Yeah, it's money.
I've been playing Star Wars Heroes, and I just threw some money, real life money, at that game, so I can't put money's into the games for a while.
So, as you're saying, so the Tetris part of Feast of Odin, like where you like, so you get tiles and you put them on the board. That's literally all Patchwork is. It's a two-player version of that.
Yep.
Okay. With nothing else. It's just that.
I tried to explore Heroes of the Storm for the first time this week, and it could not grab me. I stuck my 15 games out with some wonderful people that I played with, but I couldn't grip it. All I wanted was my Oni Genji skin, and then I was out.
Oh, does that carry over for the PS4?
Yeah, if you link your Blizzard account, it'll carry over to PS4.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep.
So my only problem with Heroes, and this is something that we explored as we were trying to get the Oni skin as well, is that it's not Overwatch.
Yeah. We played a lot of Heroes for a long time, but man, it's just not Overwatch.
It's so slow. It's like, just... I feel like I'm in molasses, like, doing...
The fact
it's not very
sort
visceral.
Of the same things.
It's not very visceral.
It's like Overwatch. That's able to change your team comp as you see what your opponent has, and the fact that you're stuck with this one hero for the 20 minutes of the match.
Yeah.
And
how many times did we say, "Man, I wish I could switch characters right now"?
Yeah, I think it's
in Heroes.
The way that Amanda explained it, or she gave me a turn or a little blip on it, was like it's ambiguous rock paper scissors. Because you've got, like, you see the hero that they have, but then there's different builds that they can have, and it seems like it's got counterplay just like Overwatch does, so you could really just pick the straight-up shit hero right away. So it wasn't something that I particularly enjoyed. I enjoyed playing with the people that I did. I just didn't enjoy the game so much. I'd rather play Overwatch.
I would love a 3D shooter version of Heroes of the Storm, playing with all the characters of there. Where it was in, like, a first-person shooter type
as
thing.
As long as it that wasn't that back-and-forth rewind bullshit that kept going on, where I was like, oh, there's all these people here, I want to kill them, but they're all a bunch of ads or minions or whatever, and it literally gets me nowhere by doing this.
It doesn't get you nowhere. That's, like, the strategy of the game.
Yeah, I know. You clear out theirs, and then your guys get to go in, like, at full health or whatever, and try and siege the towers or whatever so you can bulldoze through them. But it just seemed like it was so menial.
The... Later in the game as well, my big issue, especially playing against competitive players or playing competitive against real life players, is when you die, you're just sitting there. Mm-hmm. You're doing nothing for a minute.
That's when you go
minute
pee.
And a half.
Well, I just don't like that.
You're watching the map and giving advice and helping out and communicating and watching and speaking.
Even when I accidentally fall over the edge in Overwatch, I get antsy, just like, yep, I fucked up. No, whatever. It's like a good 30-second wait, and that's even too long for me.
It's much quicker. Overwatch is just a small delay.
Yeah. But if you fall down like King's Landing, that like the time of
it takes where a long you fall time yep, you
and
die.
Where you die, like that's a pretty good amount of time. It's got to be at least 15 seconds. I did that with King's Reaper Landing. Today, and or not King's Lane, King's Row.
I was very confused, but I just
like I said,
I saw that guy Game in King's Thrones. Landing. He jumped right out the window. It was fucking hilarious.
The opiates and the two women are overlapping. So
I did see a thing with it was that scene from Game of Thrones when it blows up, and it showed like they did the Overwatch like kill thing, and it showed Cersei with all the kills.
Yeah,
and then when once his nuts jumps out his window, there's like a 5 second delay, and then it gives Cersei a kill.
They had too much because Overwatch was just going super crazy.
Yeah, play the game, Cersei Lannister.
It was perfect. Yeah.
Oh, I forgot to mention too. We got your classic Torbjorn.
where he gets player play the game.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Andy had one. It was beautiful.
I saw a Torbjorn play of the day where he got it because his turret was doing stuff, mm-hmm. but he wasn't dead at the time. He was looking up a Widowmaker's he was trying to look at it, just stared her ass. So this guy's just jerking it, looking at this model's ass, and everybody knows it because he got play of the game while he was being a pervert.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine was good job. Not Anubis. It's the sand one. I can't.
Was it the sand?
The temple. Well, the thing is now, sometimes you kind of know a good moment's coming, so you try to. It's part of it is trying to do something ridiculous while getting to play the game. So that is part of the fun, is trying to be the most obnoxious, stupid you can be while claiming that.
Well, that's why that whole tea time spray even actually exists. Yeah. So you can slap down your tea time spray and then.
I was really mad that that was like such a glitch for a while because I'm like every time I did something awesome and I would put my spray down and I'm like it would just show up as the Overwatch symbol God, and now I don't get plays of the game anymore.
Spy. Like that's still the best spray.
It was really terrible. I was sad.
Yeah, 2016 was Overwatch.
Do we want to talk about Star Wars?
Star Wars.
Chris had it up on his thing, and we didn't talk about it last week. We've given enough people time to watch the movie, so I say we can just spoiler it right up people's ass.
So like, pull it up on my phone, because I can't remember the names of any of the characters.
I think the only names that matter in the movie are...
Darth Vader.
Gay, blind, fake Jedi Hanzo.
He had the best moment in the movie. They put the burlap sack over his head.
I did like that. There's just like those two big jokes of the movie, and I think Amanda was checked out as soon as Darth Vader dropped his bad joke.
God.
The beautiful, beautiful
that joke
moment.
Was amazing.
No.
It's the best.
No.
I just rewatched Darth Vader has made a snarky joke in every single film, including the original fucking trilogy.
Yes.
When you have Mr. Apology Accepted say, don't choke on your ambitions, it's the same wry sense of humor.
But it was the delivery. All right.
There's no delivery to the apology except he waits, watches the guy choke, drop, and then just go.
Here's James Earl Jones I'm going to say something funny here. All right, here it is. Don't choke on your aspirations or whatever he says, and then
it was beautiful.
That's what he does to Captain Nita.
The only thing missing from that scene was
you just deliver it, and you're cold, and you're not winking at the camera as you're saying it, because it pretty much was. It was a wink at the don't choke on. Yeah, I'm like, come on.
And he's not winking at the camera with apology.
No,
accepted.
No, he is delivering that straight. He's a
to
badass.
A
yes, to a corpse.
What do you think he's trying to intimidate a corpse? Yeah. The guy's already dead.
Well, there are other people around. He's intimidating everyone else.
I just rewatched all six movies. Every time you say something stupid, it's the best.
I actually, that was the one part.
He continues to interrogate a corpse. The first scene with Darth Vader, he snaps a guy's neck and then keeps yelling at him while he's just rattling his corpse around and then throws it against a wall.
And
the
that's
guy's
fine.
Dead. He's like, really? Huh? You're not bullshitting me? Tell me this then. And his head's just flapping around loose like a fucking chicken. And
I wish they just didn't have Darth Vader in this movie at all. Other than maybe you could have had him be the lightsaber, the hallway scene. That would have been awesome. I don't even want him speaking because every time it was really sad at the end when I found out it was, actual James Earl Jones.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, that's really sad because I thought it was like an impersonator doing Darth Vader, you know, that they had just modulated the voice to sound. No, it was actually.
Yeah, why weren't they using him? He's still alive.
I know.
But that's the issue. It's like The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. They did a director's cut a few years back, and they took the original actors, the ones that weren't dead, so not Lee Van Cleef, but they took Eli Wallach and the guy who starred in The Good Man, Clint Eastwood. And they had them redo their voices because the only copy of the film they had that had these scenes in it was the Italian version. The original American dialogue was lost, so they had them re-record, and they were 20 fucking years old when they made the movie, and they're 80 years old now, so these people in one scene to the next just sound like fucking octogenarians, and it just does not work.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with James Earl Jones, I can grant that.
Yeah.
But the joke was amazing.
Yeah, the joke
was
amazing.
I disagree.
It is amazing.
I will disagree,
though. It's the highlight of the movie.
Well, there I will agree with you.
Although the ending was just so beautiful.
Like, I know, you like that in Apology Accepted? You're like, Vader would not say Apology Accepted.
No. No, it was fine. I didn't have a problem with
it.
He's
literally sitting down at the dinner table waiting for them to have like a lunch.
The cheesy way.
Guys, let's have brunch together in Vampire.
Was the cheesy way he delivered it. It was like, oh my God, he's totally joking.
Off to the side,
which is
too.
What he did. It was the exact thing he does in
Episode 4.
Yeah, when he's choking the guy out of the thing.
It's the exact same thing.
I find your lack of faith disturbing. While the guy's just choking.
Yeah.
Same thing. Literally, no difference.
It's a fucking pun while he's choking a guy.
Okay, that's fine.
So you're wrong. Your opinion is wrong.
Do you at least appreciate him cutting through an entire ship of
I
of,
did appreciate again. I wanted Darth Vader in the movie, but I didn't want him speaking.
The other
I just wanted him being menacing and a badass. That's what I wanted.
He was menacing and a badass.
He was, but then he spoke. And
you know
I
what's really
like,
menacing and badass?
You're my
is
dad.
Making a quip while choking somebody to death.
If it's a good quip.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Good thing it was.
Yeah, good thing it was.
Oh, so good.
And I think one of the interesting things about the movie that Amanda brought to my attention was that it was like there was no real like relationship that came out of it. Like even at the end, it wasn't just like "ooh, I love you" and stuff. But then I had to correct her with saying that it had the best relationship. Of
the robot and Jim.
No way. No.
The robot and Jim.
The gay guys. Yeah. The gay couple.
Definitely. The Temple Guardians.
You know, just because they're friendly, they don't need to be gay. I don't get two guys are friendly together. I guess they're gay. It's so stereotypically rude.
I'll accept it.
I mean, that's fine, but I'm saying that has to be inappropriate. Just to assume two guys. If they are,
if
gay,
one
it's
of
fine.
You died, I wouldn't be nearly that upset.
That's fine.
I was saying, like, he was my lover. Just died angry. He wasn't my buddy.
They must have been like
I don't know.
They had to have been friends since they were like 2 years old for that kind of connection to establish.
But
like,
here's the thing. You are making this huge inference. Either way, you're slicing it. But you don't. Yeah, it wasn't there in the movie to be. And that, yeah. I think that was part of why I didn't necessarily. I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
But there wasn't any like. And I think the YouTube video that you posted kind of talked about this. But there was no like. I don't know why I should feel bad that he died.
But that's saying they may.
I mean,
be gay,
should
they
I
may not
really
be gay?
Care?
We don't even know because there
they
was
didn't
no
develop.
Character development yeah. for literally anybody
any,
in that.
Was your video
film.
A complaint about the movie or something? Was that your video?
Yeah, I mean, yes, yeah, basically, yes, wow. Yeah.
Surprise!
I mean, somebody's got to do it.
I'm so sad I unfollowed you to not see that.
You unfollowed me?
Everybody's unfollowed.
Why are you still posting fucking pictures on Facebook then?
I don't know.
Yesterday, wow. You're literally putting Facebook updates of you playing a game. If you're Facebook, you don't even have people on it. What's the fucking point?
It was for fun.
Jesus Christ.
But, so this just happened where you just unfollowed everybody.
Yeah, everybody.
Like when? Like just 2016, that was the end
of... It took me a couple days. And there's still... Occasionally, I didn't... Whenever someone pops up in my feed, I unfollow. There's still people that I haven't posted that I haven't unfollowed. But as soon as my...
I guess I just assumed you were just unfollowing all the...
No, everybody. 100%. It's just a dead thing to me.
So why not just sign off and never use it again?
Because of the chat programs, events, and groups. Because I still like to set up events. I still like to use it for
now
groups.
Now I fully understand.
I still like to chat with people.
I wasn't.
But I literally don't use it for anything else.
Is there anybody else we want to talk about in Rogue One here that we...
Rogue One was... I liked Rogue
One. It was okay. I mean, it was...
I enjoyed the pilot finding himself after he got mind-raped.
Here's the thing. But I wish they would have had something...
It took nothing to do. Like, he's just like, oh, you've been mind-raped. And the next scene is like, no, I'm fine.
No, I'm fine. Yep, I'm good.
I think another big complaint was the Forrest Whitaker. Just not really like they gave you like this idea of who he was, kind
of
smashed it, and then gave you who he was now, and then just destroyed it.
He's been a character in like other Star Wars like stuff for a while.
Okay,
it feels like that movie needed to be like a half hour longer to give us like a little character development on the guys, or even like its own prequel, because it really.
That was actually a thing that she talked about in the video, was that this
we
movie,
need a prequel.
Like, we don't care about any of the characters. Like, the scenes are cool and the action's all right, but you just don't give a shit about any of the characters. They have no character development at all.
Other than, even Jyn Erso, she doesn't have much at all.
You don't see where she was
this
criminal.
You're told that she's this rascal, you're told a criminal, but the very first action scene, she rescues a baby. Like, so no, she's not. She's actually just a...
You can be a rascal and still save a baby.
I mean,
she's
willing to sacrifice herself to protect the innocent.
But
from
you
the
never
very
saw,
first time we meet her.
Yeah. You never saw where she was criminal rascal, whatever she was.
First time we
never
saw
her
when she was
trying to escape,
shit.
I guess.
But then
she
was in a prison.
Yeah.
For something that she did.
But the first action scene, she risked her life to rescue a random girl, a random lady's baby. So she was always... willing to martyr herself.
I guess I'm just
so no
done with seeing something and going, how can I tear this apart? I'm just done with that concept. I watch something. If it's overtly bad, I'll go, that's fucking bad. But if I see something and it's decent, I'm not going to go, okay, that was decent. How can I just make myself
but
negative?
But that's not what it is. That's not what you're fucking doing. What it is, oh, it was decent. How could it have been better?
I thought
that doesn't mean, like, just because you see something that's a C.
It's and a solid B plus.
I think it's a, I think it's an A minus.
I'm just picking, I'm not talking Star Wars specific. I'm just picking fucking letters.
Yeah, okay.
But if you see something that's C and you point out flaws, you're not claiming it's an F. You're not ripping into it and saying this was fucking terrible. You're saying here's what could have made it an A. And you don't do that just to feel like a prick with a big dick jerking off over it. You do that so that people know how they can make an A next time they make that style of movie.
What you just said makes complete sense to me. Yes, what you just
said. You just don't think that's what's actually happening.
What I think actually happens is people sometimes start off saying, you know what, that could be better. They just build up the negatives and they just focus on the negatives and they go, actually, then they just forget all the things they enjoyed and just go, well, I can't get over this one thing. I was a C, but now this one thing, now it's a D, now it's an E, now it's an F, now it's an R. Oh my God, I hate everything.
Sure.
And I see so much more of that than the, it's just, it was okay. Any movie we think is okay, because there are a lot of things I see where it's like, man, it could have been, if this and this could have made it better and stuff like that, I agree. But I see way more people go the other way with it than that.
Well, there's two things. It's number one, people have the Jeremy Shea mindset where everything's an A or an F.
Yes.
And two, clickbait. Like, you know, you make this video and you like, fuck you, it was the worst movie ever. Yeah. And then everybody watches it and you get the fat YouTube bucks.
Yep.
But no, this video I don't think does that. I think you might actually... No. This video I thought was actually fair. Fairly constructive.
I mean, those videos have to exist in the sea of nonsense.
Like, she points out, like, when the AT-ATs are fighting everybody out on the land.
It's not an AT-AT, it's an AT.
It's an AT-AST. It's an AT-ATS or AT-AS.
I know, it's... I don't know. I just
don't know. I always call them AT-ATs.
Well, no, that's... These ones are different. There's AT-ATs in this one. They're slightly different than the ones in Hawk, and so they're called, like, an all-terrain... Assault scout. It's
okay.
These ones are for no reason one letter different just because the extended universe has too much random bullshit in it.
I don't know.
But technically, the two legged ones you grew up were ATSTs for all terrain scout transports, and the ones on Hoth were ATATs for all terrain armor transports. But these ones are like ATSQTs just to fuck with your brain and make you wrong. And you can tell because they have like an extra antenna on one side of the head. But anyway, they're just shooting random people on the beach while the heroes are in a room looking at. Thumb drives through a window.
Yeah.
Like, why aren't they fighting ATSTs? Why aren't they doing these things instead of just being in a room while random grunts do exciting stuff?
Well, they're hoping that you appreciate the blind guy and those kind of guys. I think that was the intent. Right. That's why you're supposed to care. Well,
sure. The blind guy who you set up as being able to use the Force to have a really cool fight scene to kill a bunch of stormtroopers and who maybe will do that to get to a switch instead of just walking there and then dying for no reason.
Well, there was no one between him and the switch to fight.
So put him there.
Put some stormtroopers
there. Have him have a fight scene, and then have there be too many. Have him be gradually overwhelmed.
That's just the thing. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying. Like, these discussions aren't necessarily just fuck this movie. Yeah. You know.
Well, something happens. It's like, well, if it was this way, it'd be better. Well, but it wasn't that way. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Of all the flaws that people point out, and I still think it's one of the best Star Wars movies I've seen.
It's just so fun and enjoyable.
It's in the top five.
I'll give you that.
I'd say it's top four, if not top three. Like,
it's in my top four.
I would probably give it my top three. In one of my threes.
Currently, I think it would be number four. I think I liked Force Awakens more than I liked it. I may have to watch both of them again.
I love the style of both new movies. I'm glad the new movies are going in this nice new way. I'm so happy with this.
I don't want to start arguing this.
Jedi and Empire are the best two.
Yes.
And outside the prequels, New Hope is my least favorite.
Yes, definitely. The only reason 4 gets put up as high as it does is because it was groundbreaking and it was part of that trilogy.
It starts.
Like 7? 7 might creep up if 8 and 9 are great.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it raises the value of 7.
One thing I don't like about 7, I just don't think, I think the Han scene with the squig monsters is a little ridiculous, but other than that, I like the entire movie.
Yeah.
That felt very much like an Abrams scene.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we'll just have a wacky chase scene with squid monsters.
Sure, yeah.
And people sometimes will say things like, man, it was too Abrams. Like, I fucking love Abrams, so the more Abrams you make something, the better, the happier I am. Like, you can't make something more, but that scene is a little weird.
I wish Abrams would stick around. It seems like he's like, ha, here's my mark, and then I'm gone.
He let the actors act and actually have chemistry with each other in that movie, which I like so much. I love just like Ray.
Well, that's the thing, like, people like talk about, like, Ray is so much more interesting than Jin.
Oh, yeah,
I mean? Like, nobody in Rogue One is anywhere near as interesting as anybody in any other Star Wars.
You make them a little bit more interesting than just Mary Sue, so then you get a whole problem there. You can't, yes.
I think they make them care.
I think one of the reasons, maybe their reasoning behind it, is they didn't want to make people really love these characters,
you're adding drama then. Right? You're making the interesting movie then, because I loved her and she died. It was so sad. Tom Hanks
dying and saving Private Ryan. You're like, oh my God, you know, because you care about him. Because
you knew, you learned about him and he was a, you know.
I guess I didn't really care about them, but they didn't go above and beyond to make me care. But right. But also they were going for more an ensemble cast approach, which is always harder to make an ensemble cast with only one movie.
The Avengers do it well though.
Well, but they've had multiple movies to build up.
Any individual one of those movies.
Yeah.
I mean, I would disagree. They could have made a couple of those characters more.
Just right. Fleshed out. Well, because even like Ryan said, like the pilot. So like the pilot is introduced. So again, this is in the video. If the pilot's big character thing is that the he betrayed the Empire because the Death Star designer convinced him to do this thing, maybe we should see that?
Have that scene.
Instead of just having him mention that it's a thing that happened, I would love to see that scene. I would love to see the character development. Instead, he shows up, he gets mind-fucked, except the mind-fuck consists of the next scene, he's just kind of looking in space, and somebody goes, hey, you're the pilot. He goes,
I'm the pilot.
And he's just fine. And then he's 100% fine for the rest of the movie. His character arc is remembering he's the pilot after a moment of just spacing out.
But when you watch like The Great Escape, you watch to me it's more like a war movie. And when I watch a lot of war movies, I mean obviously Tom Hanks is Tom Hanks, but you watch like The Magnificent Seven or some of those, you don't get so sucked into all those characters. I mean you're seeing it in
One.
Sure.
I'm asking for one.
The robot. I don't know.
I think it's true. The one that they tried the most on there was Jen Erso. Is basically showing her as a child.
Make her more of a badass, like a person that you maybe don't like at first.
Yeah.
And then have her save that person.
Rescue the baby.
Yeah.
Like she sees a baby, she's like, fuck it. I'm running this way. Yeah.
And then maybe she...
Because her wife has been a survivor, right? Yes. From moment one, from seeing her parents get killed/kidnapped, all she's done is survive. And so she's not willing to put herself on the line until some shit happens, some people die.
I might just be too much of a simpleton. I just don't get that worked up over... I don't know.
I mean, it was a B.
I mean, I still enjoyed it. Yeah. I liked it a lot. I'm not saying this is why the game was terrible. I'm saying these are ways the movie's terrible. I'm saying these are ways the movie could have been better.
Yep. All right. So
one other thing, just on a. People sometimes say, "I think how this movie could be better," and a lot of times it's like that's something better for me. But what they just said is probably wrong for it. Maybe a huge percent of other people.
But do you think those little suggestions that we mentioned would they have been terrible for you to have an extra 2 minutes?
If we would have had more character, I'm not rarely going to be offended by more character development movie. So I mean, I don't think those are bad ideas. It may have been better, but I don't think it would have changed a movie enough. I still enjoyed it greatly. I've seen it multiple times. I'm going to see it multiple more times. I wouldn't, with 10% more character development, it's not going to stop me from seeing it multiple more times or watching every time I see it on TV.
Yeah.
But if 10% more character development, if 10 minutes of character development makes it twice as good, you know what I mean? Like, it's those little tweaks that can really make a movie shine.
I'm old. I can't handle two. If it's too good, it might give me a heart attack. if there was, like, another minute of Darth Vader, I would have died in the theater of a heart attack and an erection.
And for what it's worth, because somebody's there, I have to do this to read the chat because of the new glares. Like, you're talking about the no love interest, except they did kind of shoe in a love interest for no reason. Like, there was no love story, and they're like, wait, these two characters are about to die. Let's just have them snuggle. For no reason. It's like, wait, so was that a love story? Why are they now, like, why is their last moment romantic when there's been no semblance of romanticism between them until now?
They kind of hinted it a little bit here and there.
Yeah.
Throughout it.
But then people say they're glad there wasn't, so either there was or there wasn't.
Well, right? I think there wasn't, but maybe you're just like, hey, we're about to die in a second. Let's just snuggle for a second.
At least get a quick handy then. Like, if you're at that point, at least do something. I don't want to snuggle.
They would have lost the PG-13. Then. Yeah. Just they quick. Got a handy. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know how many seconds.
The fireball's coming.
Where just it goes from
just PG-13. If I don't die with genitals on my face, it's not a good death.
Just a handy and all of a sudden you're just...
Yeah.
That makes a police... I'm all into that suggestion.
See? This is how you can make movies better, Brian. This is why we have this discussion. You have some handies.
I would watch that
a lot more than. I mean,
would you let your kids watch it?
Like no, Xander would not have come along with me on that one.
What about any movie? But, like episode 3 when Anakin's on fire and all of his limbs are gone? Just a quick handy from Obi-Wan. Just like, I'm sorry, that's, Anakin. That's, this is the least I can
is
do.
Is that the high ground?
Off. Yeah, he's got the high ground.
All right, so we do have to call this pretty quick here. So
recommendations.
We have one quick zappity grumble. Somebody's Jim is asking if we're gonna make the Titanic game a reality, and that was Titanic versus Iceberg. I still want to make it. I think it'd be awesome.
You do that.
It would be my job to do that.
Okay.
So that's it. End of zappity grumble. So we go to quick recommendations. My recommendation is to play Shadow of Mordor. That game is amazing.
It was fun watching you play.
Yeah. Until I died to the giant. Goron, but you whatever the
killed
thing
those ghouls out of the guy's hand.
I have two recommendations. Awesome. One I recommended in the past, so I'll be quick. You gotta fucking play Mansions of Madness. Second edition game is just fucking amazing. I played multiple more missions of it. My real recommendation is I love this. I've been playing Star Wars Heroes on my fucking phone. I mentioned it earlier.
Yeah, you are constantly.
I fucking love
every
this
time
goddamn
I
have
fun out.
I've been playing it just a fuck ton over the last like month, and I just keep wanting to play it more. So it's just a fun. It's a freemium game. I have thrown some real life money on it, but I have no regrets. I figure I played it hardcore for a month. I'm going to throw some money in a game because I'm just enjoying it, and you know it'll just be out. But it's good. It's a very fun. It's a turn based like Star Wars game, but you can do a million things in it. So that's me.
Right. Moana's good. The trailer was terrible. The movie's really
was
good.
It, was Moana it? Is
it's,
amazing.
It's really it's, fucking good. The songs are like it felt like really solid old school Disney.
Yeah.
You know, like awesome. Great catchy songs. Great characters. The like
good
the animal sidekick was just the right level of idiotic to be entertaining but not be obnoxious. Pointlessly voiced by Alan Tudyk.
Yeah.
Because it's a chicken and all it does is bawk every once in a while. So they paid Alan Tudyk to do that.
It's a
Frank
it's
Welker
fine. It was a Disney
furious.
Thing.
I mean, yeah, like Frank Welker, like he's yeah. like, what? Like I've done all your animals forever,
you
and you
me
won't
do
let me
one.
Do the chicken just because Alan Tudyk's in line. But no, it was really solid. I liked all the characters. Cool. I liked the scenes, the music, mm-hmm. and some of the things
it's
like they had the shiny song with Jermaine Clement. Like when it switches to the bioluminescent thing, it's very visually spectacular. Just a really good movie.
I think Disney was doing it as a test because they only released like two trailers for the thing, and both those trailers just made it look like horrible.
I had not seen any trailer when I went to go see it. I saw it blind, so I was not prepared. I didn't know there was bad.
The trailers were not very good for the movie. They just
showed the coconut pirates and then the chicken bagawking, and then
the coconut pirates are fucking amazing.
It was Mad Max on water.
When I saw those coconut pirates, I was like, I want a coconut pirate because those things were beautiful.
What are those things supposed to represent?
They're a mythical creature in Polynesian. The Kokomora they're like dwarves or halflings. They're like small. They don't normally wear coconuts in their legends, but they're like 2 foot tall.
They're pygmies.
Yeah, they're pygmies, right? Okay. And so they're a fantasy creature in Polynesian culture.
Okay. It was amazing.
Because everything else in the film is pretty much represented fairly well by what it's supposed to be. I just didn't know what those guys were.
Apart from I looked it up afterwards to see a thing about how accurate it was to like Polynesian thing. And of course the white person writing this thing had to in favor of white people take all the umbrage that, you know, nobody else gives a shit about and self hate. Like the big thing they said, like, oh, the big problem with this movie is it whitewashes the fact that the white people came and conquered the Polynesian culture. I'm like, yeah, that was 2,000 years later. Do you just want a thing at the end that says, yeah, happy ending. By the way, in 2,000 years, Captain Cook will rape us all to death? Like, why would you put that in the movie? But this guy's, of course, is furious that they didn't make him feel guilty for being born white. It's so goddamn annoying. But the movie's good. You should watch it. I'll go see it again.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about it as we were sitting there waiting to go see Rogue One. I'm like, ask my son, do you want to see that movie? And I'm like, eh.
If your son doesn't want to go see it, you go see it.
Yeah.
Fuck your
well,
son.
That's the thing.
Good.
That's the thing. We see all these animated movies because I have a 10 and an 8. I won't.
Okay.
I mean, I don't really want to go to jail. So, or get murdered by my wife for that matter. But yes, you know, because we see so many animated movies because we can take the kids to see that. But that's awesome.
A lot of animated movies are just garbage. And this one
they
is
are.
Really solid.
They
good.
Are.
This felt like, you know, when you see like Beauty and the Beast and Lion King and you're like, this is just a good movie
yeah.
that happened.
Sure. Happened
it
to be
felt
animated.
Really good.
Okay. Cool. I have no recommendation, so I'm going to go watch Packers and Lions. That's what I want.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do.
Recommend.
Like 5 minutes.
So my only recommendation then is a Netflix original series, The OA. Now it's
really been watching that.
It's it for me right now. It's like a halfway researched recommendation because I've stuck it out up to the point where I'm like, you know, if this episode isn't good or makes this thing move, I'm out. And that was episode 4. Episode 4 put me into it like The Leftovers never could. So I think that from now on, the way that they've set up the story, I feel like I'm going to be in it until the end to see what kind of what happens.
It's only 8 episodes. So even if you don't like it, it's only 8 episodes. Okay. I have heard both mediocre and atrocious things about it. So I'm curious to see what your opinion. I've heard people who are calm get Nathan mad when they finish that thing.
It was just like
your person just turns into Nathan when they finish that series.
What would I do?
I don't know.
The terrible thing is they're like an hour long, so I'm like, okay, well, this is going to take like a good chunk of time to like really get into this.
I hear it tells a unique story, so at least you have that appreciation of something.
Yeah, it is. It is very unique so far, and the fourth episode is where it all starts to be like, okay, I could stick with this for a while. So now I feel like I have to since I've committed four
tomorrow
hours.
Tomorrow, just burn it all out.
That's what I'm thinking of.
There you go.
Unless I need to get those that fucking Zarya emote. Jesus, god damn.
I got
that.
Did you buy it?
I didn't see it till like 2 days ago, and I'm holy fuck, I need to buy this.
I was like, I saw 3,000 coins. I was like, god,
that is classic Zarya.
It's so beautiful, though.
I don't even think that.
It's got three versions of it when she triggers it.
I don't even think the McCree one is that expensive, and that one's pretty cool.
McCree has an emote, too?
Yeah, he throws snowballs in the air and shoots them, and then it starts snowing.
I didn't know that.
God damn Maisie mode is awesome too. Cause she just makes a little snowman.
And then do you have an extra computer here, Andy? Can I play some Overwatch while we?
I'm gonna play some Overwatch right now.
I don't have time.
Damn it!
All right. Well, that's my recommendation.
Sweet. All right. That's it. That's the end of the podcast.
Yep. Have a good night.
We're done. Hey, we love you. Bye. Go Packers.
Packers. Yay.